like, okay, I'll get you a new battery. So, you know, you have your flip phone. He bought me a battery that was like this thick and stuck off the back of it. He was like, it's a good battery. It'll last you longer. I was like, but dad, it looks so stupid. And I'm going to be made fun of because my phone was silver and it was a black battery that was like 2 inches thick sticking out the back. Ugh, so embarrassed to carry that around.
You had a fucking brick. Oh my God. He sends literally you back to the 80s.
So bad. What was your first phone, Joy?
What was my first phone? I think it was one of those classic Nokia brick phones, the indestructible ones, that were indestructible, but somehow I could always very easily take the back of it off and turn off the battery and like remove the battery. But like if I threw it against the wall or it fell or whatever, like it was fine.
It would still turn back on.
Yeah, it was no problem. I loved it because I could play Snake on it. So I would play
Snake. I was going to say,
Snake so much. So much. I'd get to the point where like the majority of the screen was the snake and I kept trying to get around and I would just keep like running into myself. It was so fun.
That was Lauren's first phone too. And we played a lot of Snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good times, man. Good times. Now there's like all these, Sony's working on, making like a mobile app game. And so it's cute because I'm like, oh my God, look, like there's all this like design things and like he's working on like the color scheme. And I'm like, this is so cute. Like in my day, well, we have a snake. And now you're making your own game. Like, wow.
That's really cool. A mobile game?
Yeah, it's I'll send you the link because I think there's some that he needs like beta tested anyways. So
yeah,
I'll send you the link of one of his games. And then you can play and let him know.
Is this like for a job? Because he's done with school, right? So he's getting paid for these games?
Yeah, he has to sell the game, I think. But yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, super cool. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back. We're back with another episode of our Oscar Rewind series. We're looking back at the 2010 Best Picture nominees and giving our completely unfiltered, totally off the cuff thoughts. I'm your host, Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And today we're talking about Up in the Air. Up in the Air is about a man named Ryan whose job is to travel around the country firing people. When his boss hires Natalie, who proposes firing people via video conference, he tries to convince her that that method is a mistake. This had 6 total nominations. Best Picture, Best Actor in a Leading Role for George Clooney, Best Supporting Actress Vera Farmiga, Best Supporting Actress Anna Kendrick, Directing Jason Reitman, Adapted Screenplay Jason Reitman and Sheldon Turner. This is Up in the Air. Okay, my besties. First time watcher, first time listener, or anyone seen this before?
I'd seen this before.
Same.
What do we think?
I have to say, I actually enjoyed it, and I don't remember liking it this much the first time. I remember liking it like it was a movie and I didn't hate it, but I was like, wow, I went on a journey with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and we'll get into it later, but I don't know how much I think it's an Oscar-worthy type of movie, but...
Yeah.
I think
that's
this
how
is
I
one
felt,
of,
too.
Yeah, I think this is one of those movies that, like, kind of confuses me when it comes to the ranking, because I'm like, am I ranking based off of overall quality of film, or am I ranking based off personal preference? Because if I'm this movie would be in 2 places depending on which way I'm ranking them.
Yeah. When I do my rankings, I think if I were an Oscar voter and I was saying, this is what I want my best picture Ballard. Nominees. Like, this is what I want to win. If it was based on other things, it might be slightly different. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, that's what I do my rankings on, unless something is like, well, just a little special or whatever. Because I feel like sometimes there's that movie, I'm like, I know it's not the best, but I love it.
I think that's how we all approach our rankings in the same type of way. It's like, whatever is, because sometimes performances may be in a bad movie, but it overshadows like another movie that was even better. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because it's so subjective. Like, I know it's like, there's technical ways to make a movie, you know, story and plot and all those things, but like, ultimately it's art and it's subjective. So I think that's why these conversations are just in general very interesting. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, I get what people are like, we shouldn't have an Oscars because art is for everyone. I understand that. But at the same time, like, these things that people are achieving technology wise or, you know, artfully needs to be rewarded, I think. But anyways, we're going off a whole nother thing. Also,
let us have fun.
Yeah. Like, if we want to like the worst movie in the world, just let us. I'll watch it 100 times. I've watched The Hot Chick a stupid amount of times. It's a terrible movie. But you know,
when I was telling Ariana the other day, I was like, I had no idea that the Flintstones, the live action one with John Goodman, was considered a bad movie. I was like, what?
It is.
The movie's great. Yeah.
Losers.
What? I remember where I was reading something and I was like, wait, that's a bad movie?
That's a fantastic movie.
People without
movie.
Taste. Yeah, that's a fucking classic.
I was like, it's that. I'm like, right? That's what I thought.
Haters can be shown the door.
Yeah, like, I will ride die for From Dustin to Kelly forever.
Oh, same. You know? Same. Like,
but at the same time, I know that that is what that
not
is.
Not an Oscar-worthy film. So
I know it's not going to... but I'm not the delusional person that's like, why wasn't that nominated for an Oscar? I loved it. Like, I'm not going to do that because I'm not delusional. Well, sometimes, but not in the spring.
Not about this. But I think always of Anna, when you tell that story of, like, you went to go hang out with some people and this girl was like, oh, I don't know why like Avengers wasn't nominated for an Oscar. I always think of that. I'm like, girl.
I always think of that too. Because A, I can't stand her. And B, because I just remember like talking about this podcast. It was new at the time. And we were talking about like all the best picture nominees. Cause I think I was getting ready to go to a showing like the next day, or I had just come from a showing. She was just like, yeah, I just don't understand why like movies I watch aren't nominated for Oscars. I was like, well, what do you want? What did you think should be nominated for Best Picture? Because, well, I really enjoyed The Avengers. And I think it was Infinity War.
Ugh.
Maybe. Ugh. Or it might have been, I think it was actually Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it was part two, maybe. And I was like, oh, well, like, how do I approach this? You know, commercial movies don't always get nominated. Only a few can break through. But yeah, it was a fine movie.
I think this is so Oscar history, if you don't know. The year before this, there was a lot of talk of The Dark Knight not getting recognition because they only had 5 nominees for Best Picture. And while Heath Ledger did get nominated and win, that was like not the first time that I had that conversation, but like our tour director doing comic book was like, oh, this is different. This isn't like bang bang, you know, like a Batman. This is like a Batman. Like he's real. Yeah. So
it's gritty.
The Dark Knight is actually one of my favorite movies, and it's a really great movie. So the thought was like, this is going to be the one to break through, and it didn't. So there was so much talk about it that they completely changed the rules in the sense that they had 10 nominees as opposed to 5. So I feel like since this is the first year of that, you could kind of tell they were just kind of picking art films that to fill the spaces a little bit. Because I don't, as much as I love An Education, I kind of feel like that fits in the same spot. Like, it's good, it's quiet, it's small, but I don't know that it fits within the 5. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I agree. But also, if we look at, you know, these movies being made in 2009 and 2010, we're at the peak of our financial crisis. So True. There wasn't a lot of great independent films probably being made because there wasn't the money for them. So these bigger projects with a name like George Clooney had a better chance of being recognized here because that's what was made.
Yeah, and that's usually what happens anyway. They want a big name to put it out there to be, you know, like, oh, it has George Clooney in it. Like, he's a famous guy. Like, there's always got to be some type of selling point, you know. And George Clooney is George Clooney. I know this movie was before that, or I'm sorry, after this. I get confused because we did it before, but it came after. I think he was better than The Descendants. I think the movie was a better movie overall, just because I think the whole, like, scandal of it was more interesting to me. Because this really didn't click for me until the twist.
Ooh, girl.
I was like, what is this? Why do I know this is the point for me to hate him, because I did, but I was like, why do I care? Like, why? I just, none of this I cared about. It was very rom-commy, and I was like, he's running to the airport. Barf. I hate this. Ugh. And so the twist happened. I was like, oh, okay. I'm awake. I just felt, and that's me, because that's personal. That's not my type of movie. But I wonder how the two rom-com queens feel about it. Tell me.
I don't know what it is about The Descendants that just didn't click for me. There was something that I just didn't enjoy about that film. This one I enjoyed, I think, just a little bit more. For me, I still don't think it's best picture category worthy, but we'll get there. I enjoyed a lot about this movie. I think it's fun to look at this period of time right before, like, it's funny to watch them on their Blackberries and those big, thick computers. And my first note was, loser doesn't have a luggage with four-wheel drive. And then I was like, oh, wait, they probably weren't out yet.
Oh, my God. I know, because he's like Mr. Travel Guy. Like, he should have the best of everything.
Yeah. And so it's funny to watch this, like, because it's still a modern movie, I think as we're going backwards, it's just funny to me to be like, oh yeah, this was probably set in like 2007, 2008-ish, you know?
I guess it is modern, but it still feels like a period piece if you think about it.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, it's like we're at this weird crux of time because so much has changed since then, but also like this is a world we recognize and have lived in.
Right.
Yeah, it's like very bizarre.
Living through a period piece is so weird. Like, is this how like our parents felt like watching like 80s movies and shit? They were like, oh, I was there. My hair was that big. Like, yeah. It's so interesting. I really enjoyed this movie. I liked it. Okay, so like I don't think I liked it as much originally when I first saw it, but I really liked it this time. And like I remember the first time that I watched it, I had like, God, Anna Kendrick was so annoying to me. And I just was like not a fan of hers in the beginning. But then, you know, she kind of like, I kept seeing her places. So I was like, okay, she can stay. But I really liked Vera Farmiga's character. I really, as annoying as he was, I mean, George Clooney just like oozes charm. And so there's really like, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen him in a movie being like a bad guy. So I think it's easy to like him. He's very likable. He's very like, I don't know. He seems to me, he seems like very charming but still approachable. Like not like I'd be intimidated by how handsome he is. Like I would be, but like in an approachable way, like I'd still be able to like, you know, have a conversation with him at an airport or whatever. But I thought it was charming. I thought it like the different like points of view and the different perspectives and like it's so funny like seeing this and being like, oh yeah, like I definitely see how like older people, whenever like a young person comes in and wants to revolutionize the industry, they're like annoyed and like not on board, and I can definitely see, like, from like an older, more tenured person's perspective, how that could just be really like demoralizing. And so I understood it from his point of view a little bit better, rather than being like, oh yeah, like, you know, she's just trying to make things better.
What I found interesting when I was reading about this film was that Jason Reitman had written this before Juno and Thanks for Smoking. He wrote this a lot earlier, but then the opportunity for those movies came around, so he shelved it for a little bit. And then when he came back to it, the financial crisis had hit, and this movie took on a whole different like tone and meaning, because before then, yeah, sure, you're firing people and that's heavy and that sucks, but firing people in the midst of a financial crisis, it hit a lot different, and it hit a lot harder. And a lot of those people aren't actors in the movie that were being fired. Those were real people who had just been fired.
You can kind of tell.
Well, yeah, definitely. But they put an ad out in wherever they were filming, and people who had been recently fired were told they were like doing kind of like a documentary type thing for them to come in and talk on camera about what it was like to be fired in this time.
My heart was really breaking for them when they were like, I'm going to do this for my son. Like, I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to like all these things they like are going to do, like try to put a spin on it. Like, yeah. That's when I was like, ooh, these don't feel like actors to me. This feels too real. Cause like, especially that black man, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something to the fact that he's like, this change is going to be beneficial to me, cause I'm going to make me a better person for my son, or something like that. He said something to that effect. And I was like, oh, this guy.
You could like see the quiver in his face. Yeah. As he was trying to hold it back.
And so I was like, if he's an actor, then give him an Oscar. Cause that was phenomenal. But I was like, it feels too real. I just like that whole that was so upsetting to me, especially because I've been not in that exact situation, but I've been without a job and I've been let go, and I'm thinking like, what am I gonna do? I'm just me. I can't even imagine what it's like to have to like worry about, well, I have to feed my kids or like my mortgage and like things like that. You know, I just my heart breaks for those people. Like, ooh.
And also, like, I think. I'm glad in the end they ended up, like, if you're, there's not really like a civilized way to do this. There's not really a civilized way to let someone go. And I think it's kind of shitty that like companies outsource their firing. That's even worse.
Yeah.
But like to think like, oh yeah, instead of going in person and like giving them the decency of having a person to talk to and like take it out on, we're going to do it over Zoom. Like, that's just, it's just as bad as like sending a breakup text. Like, okay, we can't even bother to like break up with you job wise face to face. So we're just going to do it over Zoom.
Well, and then that happened to Anna Kendrick. She was broken up with over a text message. And I loved that that was put in the film, because she could kind of say, like, oh, this is so impersonal. This is so devastating to not have the chance to like talk it out and have this human moment of this sucks, I can't believe this is happening, and have someone to talk to about it.
That was a really good piece of writing. That whole thing was really good.
Yeah,
I feel like how her attitude towards him was exactly like what I wanted, because it's what I was thinking. Like, he's talking about like, get behind the Asians, they're very efficient. She's like, that's racist. And she's talking to her mom on the phone. She's like, ew, he's old. Like, her entire attitude towards him. I was like, yes, thank you. Because I was feeling these things. And I was like, I don't want to watch a movie about a terrible guy. I don't like those kind of movies to me. And then, like, I work in the airport. So I know who this person is. So I was extra triggered. So I was like, I don't want to watch this. So I think having her there was, Anna Kendrick, was really good to balance that out for me, because she was annoying, but I was like, well, they kind of even out for me. So I was like, okay, this
They're both annoying, just in different ways and about different stuff.
It was her eyebrows for me. I couldn't get over the eyebrows.
But you never liked Anna Kendrick, right, Anna?
I think she's fine. I have nothing against I have this thing about her singing voice where if you close your eyes and listen to her sing, there's no emotion, and I feel like there's nothing there. Like, it's just pretty basic. But if you're watching her perform, I think she's a good enough actress that I'm like, oh, okay, I can see what you're portraying. It may not be there vocally, but it's there emotionally. Like, I get it. I was, because she was in the adaptation of one of my very favorite musicals the last 5 years with Jeremy Jordan. And I tried listening to just the cast album and I was like, no, this is some of the most emotional musical theater songs you could perform. And there's nothing here. But then I watched the film and I was like, oh, she's okay. She can pass. That's my thing with Anna Kendrick. I think she's fine.
She's fine. But going back a lot back then.
Yeah, but going back to the writing, I do have a little bit of an issue. So in like the second scene or something, he's on the plane and the stewardess is offering him the can. And he thinks she's offering, do you want the can, sir? So here I am thinking, because it's been a long time since I've seen this film. And I remember like the bigger picture, but I didn't remember like the little, like the smaller beats. So I was like, oh, is this, you know, Chekhov's gun? Cancer's going to come back in the third act. I'm waiting for it. And it never did. And so I'm reading about the film, and that is a big point in the book, is during all of this, his character is having like blackout seizures. And it turns out he is suffering from like a terminal cancer. And so a lot of his rushing to things with Vera Farmiga's character and things is related to, oh, I'm dying. I need to like have this stuff in my life before I die. And that was completely left out of the film. And if you separate them, it's a fine film without the cancer, but like, why put in the joke? I was waiting for it.
Cause it was hilarious. Are you kidding me? I was like, wow, representation for people who mishear things, me all the time. I was like, wow, thank you. You know me. You get me, move me.
Representation for people with audio processing issues.
Because when she said it, I was like, what? Oh my God, is he hallucinating? And then she says, cancer. And I was like, how's funny.
Jason Reitman.
My shitty hearing.
Jason Reitman said he heard it on a plane once and it made him laugh. And he threw it in there as like a nod to fans of the book.
I don't know. But, I thought it was funny.
I mean, it is funny. I don't know. I kept waiting for it to be a thing. Whatever. I'm sad I never got to have a BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah. Those just look so cool. Like, I wanted to be a business bitch with a BlackBerry. But now I'm a business bitch with an iPhone, and it sucks. I want to throw the iPhone in the trash. I'm going to be on PTO. I'm going to put that shit on airplane mode. Good luck finding me.
Girl, yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
The BlackBerries were so cool. I like the ones that had the little stylus, too. I like the phones with the stylus. I was like, oh, my God. Look how it's little notes.
My mom and sister had the Palm Pilots.
Yeah. My brother, and I think Ariana does too. They got new phones and it has a stylus like in.
That's just so cool.
Also, and I think Eric has it to where you can write stuff and it'll convert it to like a text or something like that.
Oh, I love that.
I think I can't remember. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's because like,
on my iPad,
like, my fingers are too fat. Like I can't type those little keys. Especially like on those Blackberries, I was like,
well, you can buy a stylus and use it on your phone. Like,
can I?
Not a stylus. It's like a kind of looks like a blunt pin or a like rounded pin. Yeah, like that. Yeah. See?
Oh.
And use that to scroll on your phone. You never seen that?
Why the fuck did I not know about that? Am I dumb? Oh my God.
Yes.
No,
you're not. I don't keep up with technology.
You're an idiot.
Practical accessories.
That's not
you're an idiot.
That's not
bitch, I don't know. I don't do that, I guess. I don't know. Which is hilarious because I'm the one at work having to try to teach everybody how to fucking log into their fucking email and their apps. I had to show someone how to do something the other day. And I was like, okay, go to the app store. And they were like, the what? I was like,
oh my
the
God.
App store where you download your apps. They're like, I don't know what that is. And I was like, how the fuck do you get apps?
Yeah. Yikes.
How are you surviving?
Yeah, but it's okay. I understand. They didn't grow up with phones. Like, They're much older than we are.
Okay, but phones aren't new. App Store has been around since the dawn of time, basically.
I feel like we need like little lessons or little YouTube videos about like.
They are YouTube videos. Oh. I promise you.
Maybe I should send them to them.
The Apple Store has classes for older people. They go in there and
teach really?
Them how to use their phone.
That's so nice.
It's cute.
That's adorable. I mean, I feel like that would be the most frustrating thing in the world. I don't have the patience. But that's really cute for the people who can do it.
Good for them.
That's cute for you.
Cute for you. I love that for you. I love it for you. I'm not fucking doing it, but you can.
Girl, me neither.
Great. You know, as we go further back, I just really miss like title cards. I love that this had title cards and like an intro. Because as I was going through the whole thing, I was like, I forgot all these big names are in here. They have like little cast stuff. I was like, how
stacked this cast is.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons, Zach Galifianakis, and there was somebody else.
Jason Bateman. Melanie Lynskey
being so cute. I love her. I love her. She's so cute.
McBride? Is that his last name? The guy she
I think so, yeah.
Danny McBride.
Thank you.
Yeah, there was a bunch of people in there. I was like, this is cool. I like this. This is fun.
Dak. Oh, and what's his name with the mustache?
Mustache Man?
From
Sam Elliott.
Thank you.
Sam Elliott. Love him. Love him in A Star Is Born. Everybody go
mustache
watch
Mustache Man? Mustache
Man? You have to justify white mustache man. Like a
that
white
man
mustache.
Has
the thickest white mustache.
Memorable. Mustache. He is a mustache man.
Yeah, he's known for his mustache and his mustache only, because that's what made him a scene stealer in Star Is Born. It was his mustache. His mustache was doing acting.
Being annoying is hereditary because my sister just walked in and knocked over a piece of paper and then walked out.
Well, she learned it from you, bitch. That's the most crystal thing she could have done.
Well, she pretended to almost knock over the pill bottle and then actually knocked over papers. And I was like, no, go away. And she went.
So. Maybe not hereditary, but learned behavior.
Isn't it fun?
Listen, you're welcome, okay? Again? Hilarious. Again, they asked the question, who's the funniest? I was like, me. I was like, no. Everyone thinks they're the funniest. That's even funnier.
It's obviously you, duh. I know I'm the funniest, but everyone just thinks I'm dumb.
Well, same.
Especially because that, like, now, like, that we've had to, like, live with each other on and off as adults, I'm like, wow. We're just all just little dummies. Just little
fucking dummies. We're all just little dummies. That should be, like, a t-shirt. We're all just little dummies.
Although, like, they're really smart at some stuff that I'm definitely not smart at. But, like, at the end of the day, we're just silly, silly kids.
Yeah, they know stuff about things I don't know about, so whatever. It's fine.
Right. And I know stuff that they sure as fuck don't know, but, you know.
You know what? Ariana started playing Sims.
You told me.
Yeah.
I want to play Sims.
Her and Charlie, because Charlie used to play Minecraft.
Yeah.
And in Minecraft, like, make her own house and stuff, and she was like, oh.
Yeah.
So
it's
like, better graphics, basically. So she was
more details.
Building a house the other day.
I'm terrible at building houses.
Really?
Charlie loves it.
So. I can't build them. I decorate the hell out of them.
I can't decorate them for shit, but I can build them real good.
And see, me, yeah. I don't understand the point of those games.
It's creativity. It's a house that I'm never going to own. Like,
I don't know. I'd rather put energy into like, actually putting, like, into where I live than like one I'm not gonna actually live in.
Do you know what I'm saying? Capricorn is jumping out.
I know. I don't have the money to own my own home, so I'll build one on an imaginary game.
That's just not my kind of game. And I'm like, my attention span for game is like this long, so I gotta play like an arcade game and then I'll get bored in like 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, that's it.
And I'll obsess and I'll sit there for like 5 days and not do anything but play.
I just think, like, what is the point?
Fun,
you're not as obsessive
Crystal,
as me and Anna. Me and Anna can sit here and do the same thing for, like, days. It'd be great.
Well, it depends on what it is. Because, like, well, no, that's not true. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways. But I love that y'all love it. So go off.
You know who I loved in this? I loved the chemistry that he had with Alex. They had such, like, interesting chemistry. Like, they had a lot of it. I don't know if it's because it's easy to have chemistry with Vera Farmiga and George Clooney, but, like, I really liked them together. Like, their vibes were good.
I wrote, I love that this is an age-appropriate relationship. And then I looked yes. up, and she is 12 years younger than him.
What?
But still, I guess in the movie, it's age-appropriate.
I mean, 12 years?
Not that I think she looks older, but, like, there's no way. What?
Listen, that's very surprising to me.
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick said it. How
old he is.
Yeah, she did.
I didn't Google his actual age until after this movie, and then I was like, oh, he's old.
In the movie, is Alex supposed to be 34? Because she does not look 34 to me.
No.
That means no, I would have put her at her...
That would mean she would look like our age. We don't look like that, do we? Like, again, not in a bad way. Not in a bad way.
Vera, we're so sorry.
I literally love you in this. You're so great. But, like... there's not a nice way to put this. I'm so sorry. I'm so mean. But, like, she just looks like, you know, like an adult.
Yeah.
I just said, we're just silly kids, and she looks like an adult. She doesn't look like silly kids.
People sometimes can be of age and look like a baby, or right. you know, vice versa. So she just has she looks like an adult. Probably since, like, her teen years, she looked like an adult, you know?
Which, like, she doesn't look bad. She looks great.
No,
she looks
fantastic, not at all.
But she just looks like an actual adult.
I love how her walk, she just walked with such confidence. She, like, she wore those suits. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything she wore. Fantastic. Yeah, like, she was great. I love just how oh my god, I'm blanking on words, how, like, comfortable in her own skin she was.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. The Spirit of St. Louis. Oh my god, I didn't think about it until I was watching this. I was like, oh my god, the Spirit of St. Louis. I was like, this guy likes planes. I like him. Oh. I like planes. I've never been to St. Louis.
Have you guys
been to St. Louis?
Yes, I have.
Crystal's been all over the U.S.
I'm very thankful about that.
Lucky lady. I want to go to St. Louis.
I'm pretty sure I've been to every airport they mentioned and every city they mentioned.
Shut up.
Except, say for maybe like one or two, but I think, yeah. I should have wrote it down, but I didn't.
Although I did like that I recognized, like, some of the airport, like, the, like, initials for it. I was like, I know that airport codes, yeah.
I tell you that story about when I learned what pilot speak was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I first started working at that job where I had to work with pilots, I wasn't aware that... I didn't know about pilot speak. So a guy was calling the phone answer. He's like, yeah, I need to get something and I need to speak to so-and-so. Here's my name. And he gave me a name, but he said, like, Charlie Alpha, Romeo, all these, like, random words. And I was like, what is he saying? Like, I thought it was another language. I couldn't understand it. But it was the pilot speak.
Yeah, what is it? What is it actually called? It's the...
pilot speak, that's what I call it.
No, there's a name for it. It's the something alphabet. For pilots?
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just
thought he was saying, know this?
I thought he was saying random words, and I was like, what is happening? But no, he was just pilot speaking. I had no idea.
The phonetic alphabet, I guess. I don't know why.
Phonetic?
That doesn't make sense.
No.
But sure.
Hold on. I'm going to see. Pilot.
The aviation alphabet.
It's also used in the military.
Yeah. I think it's the one specifically is that we're talking about is aviation alphabet. I've heard that term before. Pilot Lingo, I've heard that as well. But yeah, that's pretty funny how I didn't know that's what he was talking about.
I know that because like my abuelo who knew all the pilot thing in although I don't know what it is in Spanish.
It's the NATO phonetic alphabet.
The NATO phonetic alphabet. There we go.
It's for radio.
Especially when they don't speak the language, they'll speak just those words to get across what they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something I've just always kind of been aware of. We watched a lot of NCIS when I was younger. That it's spoken a lot there. And then, because they're naval, NCIS is the Naval Crime Scene Investigators.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're investigating crimes within the Navy.
I literally have never watched NCIS. What the hell? I had no idea.
Watched a lot of it when I was younger. Those first couple of seasons, I know them very well. But also, I think it might be an episode of Scandal that's called Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yes,
WTF.
Yes.
And I was like, I love that.
Yeah.
That's also a movie, right?
I believe so. I believe it's a movie with
what's his name? Teller? Miles Teller?
No.
Tina Fey, right?
Tina Fey, thank you.
Oh.
Martin Freeman,
yeah. Yes.
No idea.
It was an okay movie from what I remember.
You know what I didn't like? That he threw away her pillow. I was like, that's her pillow, dude. Like, are you serious?
Like, she didn't need it.
First of all, no, that's my pillow. Don't touch my pillow. Like the neck pillow, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the big pillow was taking up a lot of room, fine. They can afford to check it back? Whatever. She didn't need a new secret, though, because what was she pulling? Ridiculous.
Yeah, what the hell? Maybe. Come on.
Come on now.
Girl, no. Sorry, I really like the. There was one shot that I liked, and it was the one where Anna Kendrick is in that room full of chairs.
Yes.
All these like abandoned chairs. I was like, damn, that really sets the mood.
I like that shot, and then I like the shot of hold on, I wrote it down. The shot of him drinking in his hotel room after he finds out what you know who she is. And it's shot from the outside and it's snowing and it's just panning out. Beautiful. I was like, wow, okay, artists.
Okay. There was also a shot of them at the airport. It might have been one of their last times in the airport, and you could just see all of the lines of the windows, and they were kind of in the background, and it was all in the shadow. I really enjoyed that shot.
I like this shot too. It's very brief, but it's when we find out that woman sadly killed herself, the one that they fired, and it flashes to Anna Kendrick on the speedwalk, and it's just the back of her. That's a really great shot. It's very brief, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she got some miles.
I would have said no. I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was faking that he didn't remember her, but the fact that he doesn't remember her is worse.
I think he was faking it for the intents and purposes of like not having to
being culpable.
Yeah, be responsible.
Which is still bad, but I mean.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that's the first time that's happened. Like, unfortunately.
Oh no, no. No.
But it's like
there's
said,
a lot of. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like he said, you can't be that much invested. You have to be invested enough to get them through the appointment. But he can't be that invested or else he would never.
Mm-hmm.
Which essentially means he's good for the job because he can't fully commit to anybody.
Yeah.
Really. Or doesn't want to. Which is not healthy. Like, that's what she says. Like, you think you're this cool guy, but like. This isn't a flex, bro. Like,
yeah,
you having cut off people and just being secluded is not what you think it is, mm-hmm. sir. Especially so you have family also
mm-hmm.
who want to include you in their lives, and you're just like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, they do want to include him. It'd be one thing if they were like pushing him away and they were like, ugh, he sucks, whatever. But like, they did actually want him there,
and they expect him to not be there. They want him there, but because like when he's asked, he's like, "Oh, I know Dad's not around, but if he wants someone to walk you down the aisle," and he's like, "Oh, well, I have someone else doing it." And he's like, yeah. "Oh, okay." It's like, "Bro, you're not here." Like,
yeah, it was like a reality check.
Yeah, for sure.
Which God, that was so sad.
I do, friend. I do like so. Before the twist happens, there's initially whenever Anna Kendrick gets dumped, and she's like, you know. She asked Vera Farmiga, like, what do you think about, like, a guy? Like, what did you want to see in a man or whatever? And she's like, oh, he's got to be good with kids, loves kids. And then, because you're thinking, like, oh, she wants this from him, but he doesn't want that. I love that it's played for, like, you're thinking it's about George Clooney, but it's actually talking about her husband and her children.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So smart.
Gagged. Fantastic.
I also loved that after he finds out and she's on the phone with him and she just goes, I'm an adult, so if you still want to see me, give me a call.
I was like, slay. Like,
wow.
Yeah. I don't approve of what you're doing, but you're a badass.
Right? I do love that it was like a guy getting played except for instead of the woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice.
And like, what
nice
could he say? Like, they never committed to something serious.
No.
It was always casual. He got feelings, mm-hmm. and this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And I love that she's like, I'm a grown-up, bro. Like, all that was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her acting in that scene, too, was great. You know what? Okay, so going back to this is a period piece. It is a period piece because the wedding was so, like, so of the time. Because the fucking matching boleros to the bridesmaids' dresses, I wanted to throw up. Like, those are the ugliest fucking bridesmaids' dresses I've ever seen. And they're so, like, 2009, 2010. Like, so but also that the time trend, in the bright pink.
Well, I thought they were bright red.
Was it red? It read, like, fuchsia to me.
I saw it as red, and that felt very early 2000s of everyone getting the white wedding with the red accents.
God, everyone did that. Yeah. Yeah, it was, like, so of the time. But I could not with the matching boleros. I could not. And the satin and the cheap-ass satin, I couldn't.
I may or may not have made a wet before Pinterest was a thing, I used to get cardboard. Not cardboard, but those big poster boards, and I'd cut out of magazines and stuff.
Yes.
So I had what's the prehistoric Pinterest board of weddings, and one of them was the red and white theme.
Oh my God! You know, I love that. It's a trend on TikTok right now of people showing their like. Their first Pinterest wedding board. So from like 15 plus years, from like 15 yeah. years ago. And like all the trends are so shitty and so bad now. And it's so funny. I was thinking of like, oh, I should go back to my Pinterest boards and see how terrible, what horrible ideas I had.
I've gone through in the last couple of years and edited some of them to be like,
you know, yeah, what?
This is no longer the vision.
You know what's, I don't know, it makes me weird, but I've never been one of those girls who like thought about my wedding. Like I've known girls who like pretty much had everything set, they just needed to insert man here. And I just thought like why? I don't know, like why are you planning an entire party? Not that like I don't know. It's very common for women, young girls to like have a dream wedding, and I've never had that. My entire life. I've never thought like, ooh, yay, party planning. I don't know. Like, not that, and I like going to weddings. I love seeing people, I love to see people be happy. And I've been to enough in my life to know not what to do. But I've never had like a vision like, oh my God, I have this like flower and these flowers and these, this bouquet. Like, I just, I've never thought of that.
For me, it was, I didn't know this at the time, but it was definitely just that I liked the party planning aspect of it. And so who else am I going to put in the starring role as a child but myself? So it was never really about me getting married and the person. Although I am a romantic, so sometimes there were faces.
It is.
There were faces.
I've seen that face
at the end of the aisle.
I remember.
But yeah, I loved the idea of planning a wedding. And then when it came to wedding time for like my sister, I remember telling her, like, you are not allowed to get eloped. But then also it was like this weird where I was involved, but I wasn't involved in planning and shit. I don't know. Weddings are a lot, man.
Yeah, party planning sounds like hell to me, so no thank you.
Party planning for other people sounds not bad. Party planning for myself?
Hell.
No.
Ideas. Like, I can throw ideas around, but the idea of actually planning a party makes me break into hives. Like, I can't do it.
You know what? I was never that girl that was like, oh, let me plan my wedding. Like, I was stupid romantic because I fell for the romance movie shit. But I never thought of, like, oh, planning my wedding. Because I was like, oh, that's just not going to happen for me. Like, that's not in the cards for me. No. But then, of course, the fateful day that I ended up working in bridal. And then I was just forced to just, like, know everything about every wedding forever and always. And so I was like, well, I don't not know how to plan a wedding now. So let me just put a Pinterest board of all the things I wouldn't hate in a wedding and all the things I know I definitely don't want. Like,
yeah,
at least I know what I don't want.
We had talked about this maybe before. I don't know if oh God, no. I don't know if we talked about this on air or off air, but like, I think that you like to work in bridal because you like to make people look good and feel good, especially when it comes to like something like that. So it's not so much about like the wedding or commitment or whatever. It's just like, yeah, I want to help you look great.
I want to make you look pretty. Yeah, exactly. That was the most fun part. I was like, oh my God, you look so beautiful. You look so happy.
Yeah, and that's what
you
that's,
drive that's me crazy, but at least you look nice.
Because I bet the ones that were nice to you and it was great. When it was great, it was great.
It was so fulfilling when it was nice. Like, I can't believe I got invited to the number of weddings I got invited to just for making their dresses look nice. That shit is fucking wild.
Because you love a party and you love free food. So that's like,
I love a party. I love free food. I love free dancing. And I love for people to look cute and be happy. Yeah.
Like open bar. Like it's all clicks.
I love an open bar. But I do want to. Wait. Okay. Well, no. Go, Anna. I'll remember.
I'll just say I'm sad we didn't take advantage of you working there and go try on dresses more.
I know.
We did.
I know. Those pictures pop up in my like the Apple will do the this time this whatever year. It's like, oh my God, that was so much fun. That was so cool. Yeah. You know what? I don't think we've ever talked about it on the podcast, but I do want to bring up the time that I met Anna as an adult. Because this is just like some fun lore.
Yay,
like,
backstory.
One of our many like run-ins when we weren't like, before we were besties. What year did your sister marry?
9 years ago. It was 2015.
Oh my God. That's insane. So in 2015, I was working in bridal. And of course, like, Anna's sister goes to buy her wedding dress. And Anna's there, obviously. And they came to get it altered. And it was Lauren. It was Anna. It was Janie. And I think, was there one other person there or no? Was it just you two?
It could have been my mother, but who knows?
For some reason, I'm only picturing you and Janie, but okay.
That makes sense.
And I remember she was like up on the podium and she was like so excited about her dress. And I was like, oh, these people are so cute. Like, I want to hang out with them. And she looked so pretty and she got this dress. She got a Vera Wang dress. Of course she did, because that's very Lauren. Like, knowing Lauren now, I like it. That's very Lauren.
which... I have stories about the dress, but continue.
Oh my God. Yes. We're definitely going to talk about this afterwards too. But that was when I ran into Anna before we were like BFFs, not that shortly after. Then we started hanging out.
Like, no, it was a couple maybe years later
that year.
Yeah.
Was it? When? Okay. Maybe it was like 2 years later. It feels like
It might've been later that year or it might've been the next year.
It was within the year for sure.
No, because got married in July, and I think I met you in October.
Yes, for the Rocky Horror TV thing. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God, so it was just a few months later. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think after, I think Fate was like, all right.
It was a year later.
It was enough that, like, okay, you've run into each other, like, several times now. Let's just make you friends. But that was so cute.
But no, my sister had gone to try on wedding dresses without me. I forget where I was. But I couldn't be there. I was out of town or something. And they were sending me a bunch of pictures of everything she was trying on. And I was like, what the fuck is she doing? Why is she trying on these dresses? And I remember telling her, I was like, none of these dresses are your style. Because one of her proms, I think it was when she went her junior year, she had this, I didn't like it, but she had this big poofy olive dress that was strapless, but it was a drop waist. And I was like, that's what looks good on you. But I think she was so like, I need to hide my body. And I was like, no, I remember telling her, like, none of these dresses are your style. You need a drop waist.
So smart. Or like, what a genius of you.
And so the next time we went shopping, we were looking for different silhouettes. And when she had tried on like the princess and the empire waist and all of that. And I was like, no, that is so not you. And then when we tried on that one, we were like, thank you. It was right.
I mean, you know what you're about. The only reason I would ever get married is so you can pick the dress out.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Like,
that's the only reason.
Let me find something now. Let me start working on it.
Oh my God. It's not happening now.
Who cares?
I'll pick the dress. I'll plan the party.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so perfect.
It's so perfect. I'll get you dressed. I'll do your makeup. Maybe Anna can do your hair.
I was just kidding. I don't want to get married. Just kidding.
Too late. I'm planning it. Let's figure out. No, because we've talked about this before. So it has to be when it's cold. It can't be in the fucking dead of summer. It has to be
something like late January, early February, something like that.
Yeah, a January wedding. January is great, especially if you like did them like, I don't know, like somewhere. What is it called? Where am I at? what is it?
She said, "Where am I at?"
What's this place called?
Looks like you're in a field of flowers with a mountain.
New England, bitch! Oh my God, New England, New England in January. It's climate change, so it's not gonna be that cold anymore. So it's fine. If anything, I'll get you a nice little fur shawl.
My God.
And then you can have the song by the Avett Brothers. In January, I'm getting married.
Oh, so cute. Good song.
Avett Brothers are great.
Yeah.
That would be so cute for you. Actually, that's totally.
You know what? I have a
vision. I have a vision now. Me and Anna are going to make this happen. Oh, I'm going to start looking for dresses. Hold on.
You start looking for men, Crystal. We'll start planning the party.
Yeah.
Oh, I take it all back. Just kidding.
Bachelors out there that are listening to us. Where are listeners from? From London and like, what was the other one from? California or something? I don't know who
the hell. I haven't checked the diagnostics. No, what is it?
Analytics
in a while, so I don't know.
How sick is our podcast?
How's your blood pressure?
So sick.
I'm just gonna put an ad in the paper. Whatever. Let's see how far we get.
No, an ad okay. Of the three of us, who do we think might get married first or at all?
Me?
Ooh,
honestly, Crystal. Joy is not.
Wait a second, that's offensive.
You laughed.
Not totally wrong.
Okay, Anna. She's gonna be. I don't know.
Spend I gotta say, life.
I feel like Anna's gonna be. She's just gonna go all in really quickly. Like,
I feel like I would too, actually.
You know what? And I feel like I would too.
Because at this point, we're old enough to know what we'll put up with and what we won't, what we want and what we don't. Yeah, so when we are in a relationship, it's going to be like immediately like, yes, this is it or no.
No, fuck off.
Also, because like before I've just been like, I don't got time. So like, let's go or don't. I'm not a time waster in that way. You know what I mean?
Like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
No, which means that's why we have to have your wedding planned early, because like, we got to put it together quick.
Oh my
God. You are not a long engagement girl. You are not.
No, absolutely not.
You are not patient enough for that. So no.
So, I understand why people do it, because I have to save up money. I completely understand that. But I'm not, I don't want, like, you know, a horse-drawn carriage and, like, huge church and, like, I'm, that's not me. That's not me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyways, I know why people do it, because I have to save. Because, you know, it's hard out here for just living.
Just to live, but yeah.
I do have my idea, if I were to ever get married, of how I'd want it to go. But that's...
The secret in here?
No, I've talked about it before.
No, I think she's told us. No, I mean, like, not on the podcast is what I mean.
Oh, no. Okay. I mean, it would just be... I would tell only, like, the minimal amount of people. So, like, mm-hmm. you two, Janie, Lauren, and probably my dad. And invite everyone over for, like, a surprise engagement party.
I love,
like,
that. I love that.
Tell mm-hmm. everybody we're engaged. And then be like, oh, mm-hmm. and also in, like, 20 minutes, we're getting married.
I love this idea.
I love it.
I go away for an outfit beautiful change.
Beautiful green silk dress that you looked at. Well, you put on your yeah. Pinterest board and you sent it to me a long time ago.
I'm wearing a colored dress. I'm not wearing a white dress. We've catered some good food or, like, some fucking pizzas. I don't care.
Chicken nuggets, probably.
Chicken nugget bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get me some Chick-fil-A nuggets.
We're going to have Chick-fil-A trays and, like, some Totino pizzas ready to go.
Literally perfect. But no, I
and
just
like a little
be
margarita machine. It'll be perfect.
I just want it to be so low key. I don't want it to be like months and months of attention of people asking me, how's the planning going? How's this going? I just want to show up. And if, like, you missed it, and then because it'll be a smaller thing, like backyard type, just closest family and friends, then we'll go on our, we'll go on like a tour and go see like extended family and go party with them and have a nice dinner. And then we'll go to the other side of the family and go party with them. Like,
that's
no
cute.
One wants, what's 10 minutes in front of an officiant? It's nothing.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think save that, money.
Like, I had a former coworker who they had a pretty big family. She had four brothers and he had like three sisters or something. So they had a lot of family just within their immediate. So they rented a really big house on the beach, got married on, because their dad was already a minister. So he married them on the beach. And then they spent all weekend just becoming a family, is what she said. Just like, yeah, we just enjoyed this company. We swam in the ocean and that's just had a good time. So I was like, that's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
So I feel like that's really gorgeous to me.
Aww. Yes. See, anyway. I don't know, like, half of me's like, I would have to have a 200 fucking person wedding. Or no. It would just be like
joy.
I mean, the least amount of people I could do would maybe be like 30.
Here's
that's the smallest I could get. And I think that's actually pushing it. I think 50 might be a reasonable number.
I've got a vision for you, Joy.
Okay, tell me.
You take us, obviously, your mom and the boys. You have a courthouse wedding, a beautiful courthouse, not like just any courthouse. We'll find a really beautiful one. We'll spend the day, like, we'll have like a brunch afterwards. We'll take a bunch of pictures. It'll be beautiful. And then, like, the next day we'll have a rager.
Yes. We're going to party from sundown to sunrise. I'm so
you're
excited.
Wearing like a sparkly jumpsuit. Everyone's dancing. There's music. There's booze. And
I got my knee braces
partying.
On. I've taken some leave. I got my orthopedic shoes. Yes.
Like, we'll put you on one of those hoverboards to just like.
There's bowls of leave on the table just in case. Take one of your
those are the party favors.
Those are the party favors.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That sounds great.
You know what else you have... I would consider? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you just have your private little ceremony with the most important people. And obviously, I guess whoever they wanted to invite. their mom and dad and brother and sister, whatever. You know, maybe 20 people go have a big brunch and celebrate that. And then we fucking rage.
Yes.
I want to see you rage
party,
on
party, 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 party.
For I'm Joy,
gonna play,
I would rage.
I'm going to play 60 minutes.
She's going to rage gonna play, for you, Joy. So I need I'm you gonna, to get married tomorrow.
There's going
to
be a designated 60 minutes of just ABBA.
Yes. I would have to get high, probably.
That's fine. That's fine. More party favors. But I'll just do one straight hour of ABBA just for us to, like, ABBA party.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm in.
Yes. And then I leave the next day and I go to Greece. Oh,
yeah.
Sounds great. I'm going to go spend a month in Greece. Sounds amazing.
I would consider getting married in that place that we went to on our vacation.
Yes!
That church in the
in
woods.
In Arkansas? Uh-huh.
That was beautiful.
Okay,
the
shut
one
up.
Here in
no,
Fort Worth
that's perfect.
Is also beautiful.
I never went. I need to go look. Let's go visit, Anna.
Okay.
Go visit and tell me which one you want, because that's where we're having your wedding.
Oh, God.
I mean, the one in Arkansas is surrounded by, you know, nature. So nature. That's fucking gorgeous. The one in Fort Worth has a shopping center right next to it. I mean, it's still beautiful and it's worth a view, but.
I don't know, just like my breath was taken away walking into that church. Like, yeah. I'm so happy it was empty when we went. Like, there was no events going on, because to be able to walk in and sit in the front row and just kind of be, ugh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of us has got to get married in that church. It ain't gonna be me. It's probably one of y'all, but how would I make it out of there? Yeah, that would be such a beautiful. Oh God, what a beautiful wedding! I've seen pictures from like weddings at that venue, and oh God, they're just so pretty. Just
especially if you so do nice. It at like magic hour.
Yes.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Stunning.
The photos.
Yeah. Seriously. Oof. My God, that place was beautiful. Beautiful. It doesn't matter that we were drenched in sweat afterwards, but it was beautiful.
No. This woman I follow on TikTok, she's a wedding photographer, but she does, I forget how she describes it, like almost like photojournalism type of photos. Like they're not staged photos. She just kind of goes around and blends in and like just takes candid pictures. And they're the most stunning pictures. I'm like, that is definitely what I want at my wedding.
Yeah.
Like, sure, we'll get together on the iPhone and take, like, the big family picture or whatever. But, like, I just want someone going around and taking pictures of us, like, laughing and talking.
Yeah,
and
catching the vibe. Of
yeah, the little moments.
Yeah. That's the goal. That's the goal.
Oh. So back to this movie, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Oops.
I guess that was a pretty long tangent.
That was
I'm sure you know more about us than you wanted to know after that.
Yeah,
we'll send this to future potential partners.
Yeah.
This episode. Any last notes, I guess, that you want to go over?
One of my notes on here was like, coming home is always going to be messy. Because
I wrote, I like the quick ASMR edits at the beginning when he's like zipping up his suitcase.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were always a-holes when I worked at the airport. True. Chris Lowell! Good to see him.
Yes!
Pisnarski, right? What's his name?
Yeah.
Piz. Hey, I worked there. DFW Airport.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You know what?
I wrote... Okay. So, one of the cities was Des Moines, right? And, my brother, when we were in Des Moines, he said it incorrectly on accent. He said Des Moines. And so that's always how I say it. But I have to remember that's the wrong way. It's not Des Moines. It's Des Moines.
It's your Arkansas.
Arkansas. Oh, my God.
At Des Moines, they have, see, I did it again. They have that's the festival we went to that was like the international one where for like $1, each booth has a sample plate. You can just sample like whatever dish they have for $1. So you can essentially go to every booth and just pay $1 and try all the foods. It's amazing.
When did this happen? Why haven't we gone to do
September?
This?
That September? Was the one where we went to the Capitol for that one, but our rental car broke down. And so we unexpectedly spent the afternoon in Des Moines, and there had to be a festival. The car Uber driver was like, yeah, it's really great. You should check it out. And we spent the whole night. The whole afternoon. It was great.
That's good. Cute. My last note is I love an indie song montage.
The soundtrack was really good, actually.
It was. It was so cute.
I was like a fan of all these. And actually, the song that we played earlier, it's called Up in the Air. And it's by Kevin Renick. So when they were shooting this movie in St. Louis, Jason Reitman was giving like a speech or like a lecture at a local college, and so he went to go. He had heard that he was writing or shooting a movie, and he had written this song, Up in the Air, like shortly after he lost his job, not knowing that like at the same time Jason Reitman was getting ready to write this movie, do this movie. So he went to the lecture, and he's like, "Hey, Jason, I have a song I wrote about my troubles with finding a job and changing." He's like, "Listen to it if you like, whatever." He just gave it to him, and he didn't say anything else. And then fast forward to they're about to finish or like post-production on the movie. And they're like, "Oh, hey, so we used your song in the movie." So the very last song, the one we played just now, and it's the very last song in the credits. It's his song.
Oh, that's cute.
It was just some guy that gave his mixtape to him at a lecture, and he liked it and put it in his movie.
That's amazing. So
that's really cool.
That is really
but
cool.
Yeah, I liked all the different singer-songwriter.
Yeah,
it was good.
I'm such an indie bitch. I'm a sucker for a singer songwriter song.
Same.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Laura Marling finally came out with a new song this week. Announced her album in October.
Oh, I love that for you.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. It's been 4 years.
Ooh, that's a long time.
Wow. She had a baby. She's forgiven. Wow. But also, like, I need new music.
Well, good. I'm glad. Another thing to obsess over for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, have you learned all the words yet?
No. Not yet.
Well,
so
on your
she
way
will
though,
tomorrow.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You can sing me a song by heart next time I see you.
I will. She also started a Substack. So like once a week getting like some of her like
little notes,
little thoughts. It's very cool.
That's so cute.
Young MC, this is so random. Like Young MC at the corporate
conference.
It's like what the, they really choose the most random artist or acts to be a corporate event. I've never been to one of those, so I have no idea, but
that event was hopping. They were getting also, down.
Also, when Anna Kendrick was singing karaoke, I was like, oh, this is how she booked Pitch Perfect. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
She's one of those that once they hear, oh, you can sing, we'll put it in the movie. Mm-hmm. I just watched a rom-com with Lucy Hale and one of the Naked Brother Band boys. Nat Wolf. And for like no reason at all, there's a moment towards the end of the film where they sing at each other, and I'm like, this is weird. Just because even they can you. Doesn't mean they should.
Exactly.
That should be your Letterboxd review.
Oh my god.
That was an okay movie.
10 million miles is crazy.
Insane.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
What a great goal, though. Like, wow.
I didn't hear the million part. I was like, 10 mile, what? And then I was like, oh, 10 million miles? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's nuts. I mean, I like flying, but that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. I think that's all my
categories.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay, best picture.
No,
I'm just gonna say no. Yeah, no.
Really?
I think if this is here, then Julie and Julia should also be here. That was also a nice movie that I liked that had good performances and good soundtrack. Like, it's
and Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, and Christmasina. Hello.
Love of my life.
Amy Adams. Hello.
The best Chris. Saying, like,
if that's the caliber of movie, then it should be that. But at the same time, we talked about earlier, you know, they had to fill slots.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I liked it. I think, sure, why not? Lockdown.
That's really a rating endorsement.
That's my endorsement. Actor in a leading role, George Clooney was up against... hold on, person that I list on went the wrong direction.
You got it, Joy. You got it.
Morgan Freeman in Invictus, Jeff Bridges in Crazy Heart, George Clooney. Oh, yeah. Colin Firth in A Single Man, and Jeremy Renner in The Hurt Locker.
I'm going to say no, because he was just being George Clooney, right? Like, was he even acting?
Yeah, it's just pretty basic.
Yeah. Like, it's just nothing, being a charming guy.
It's nothing, you know, difficult or challenging or new for him.
Wow, it's you're a rich man who's a jerk. Good job. Like, what's the point? I don't care. I don't know who I would replace him with, though, just because I don't know. I replace him with oh my god, the guy from District 9. What's his name?
Oh my god, Copley.
Chateau Copley. Yes, that's who I put. My vote is still Colin.
Colin Firth.
Because The Single Man was such a good movie.
Girl, are those some wings? Oh, yum.
Oh, Wingstop.
I'm jelly.
Yeah, it's late, but I ordered food because I'm hungry and I don't want to cook.
Fair.
I made a sandwich.
I had pizza and wings last night. Oh god, it was so good. I love a good pizza wings combo. Actress in the supporting role, both Vera Farmiga and Anna Kendrick, were up against Monique in Precious, Penelope Cruz in 9, and Maggie Gyllenhaal in Crazy Heart. There's no fucking way they were beating Monique. And if anyone else had beat out Monique, I would straight up punch him in the face.
I don't understand. This is another example of like them filling the spots, because no disrespect to any of the actors, really, because they're none of them are bad, but they were not good enough to get nominated when you had performances like Paula Patton or Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. If we're going to nominate more than one person for a film, it should have been from Precious. We should have nominated Mariah Carey and Paula Patton.
100%.
Hello.
There's no,
like, I guess if they wanted to do Anna Kendrick, because she was like, they like to nominate the crazy girl, you know, because she's acting, she's crazy,
she's quirky.
Yeah, I mean, not that, I don't know. Vera Farmiga was just like, she got nominated for I'm a Grown Up. That's what she got nominated for.
Yeah,
which was a great delivery. Great delivery. I think over both of them, I'd probably pick. Oh God, I don't know. Maybe Vera Farmiga.
They both had really great chemistry with George Clooney, and I think that's what bolstered them.
Okay.
I don't agree that they should be there.
No, I don't either.
Also, Penelope Cruz in 9. I can't. I can't, bitch. I love that movie, but really?
Again, like, when we talked about this before, but like back in the day, they tried so hard to fill these slots because there weren't a lot of great women, especially lead roles, they were hard to fill. So we're going to be seeing a lot of that going forward.
My God, which is hilarious to me, because 9, bitch, 9. You put Daniel Day-Lewis in something, all of a sudden it's Oscars everywhere.
Well,
which reminds me of Penelope Cruz this last year in Ferrari, and people were like, "Ooh, Ferrari, Penelope Cruz, ooh, Penelope Cruz, this is our best stuff she's ever done," and I was like, oh, "Really?" Excuse
me? What is your best performance? Oh, I know it's on the spot, but sorry.
Oh, fuck. What do I gotta... Hold on.
Get back to me. I'm
okay,
just
all right.
Next category, sorry.
Supporting... No. Directing? Directing Jason Reitman was up against James Cameron for Avatar, Catherine Bigelow for The Hurt Locker, and Glorious Bastards Quentin Tarantino, and Lee Daniels for Precious.
This might be the only one I'm not upset about. I think he did a good job. The story's very simple. There's not a lot there, so it's not really hard to mess up also. So it's not my pick for a winner, but I'm okay with it there.
I think I feel the same. Like, I'm not mad at it, but I also wouldn't be upset if it wasn't here, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go with Tom Ford for A Single Man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna rewatch that here soon. I keep forgetting to do it, but I'll do it. In this category, I'm like, it's in the middle of the road for this. And then adapted screenplay against District 9 and Education, Precious, and In the Loop. What was In the Loop?
None of us read the source material, right?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, purely from a script standpoint, I thought it was good. And this is another one where I'm okay that it's there, but it's not my winner.
I do like it as a script. Yes.
Yeah, I do think it's a strong script. I don't know. I'm still just a little bummed that they left out a whole part of the plot.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But sure, it can stay.
Yeah. I mean, I like Crystal, it. I think it was good.
I love you, but your pen clicking is driving me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bonkers. I love you.
No, you don't. Whatever.
You're right.
Zero wins.
Well, sounds about right.
Yeah, that's accurate. And I'm looking through Penelope Cruz's what is it, filmography, and I could not tell you.
Well, I didn't see it, but she got a lot of praise for Peril or Mothers.
Yeah, it's still on my watch list. I really wanted to see it, but I missed it. I missed like the cutoff in theaters, and then it wasn't available unless I was buying it, which I didn't want to do, just like that. I have seen bits of Volver, which she was good in from what I remember. But I think Ferrari was just like, ooh, she's yelling and she's emotional and, oh, it makes a great performance because it's showy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, she's playing like a scorned wife, like in so many other films that we've seen.
If we're going to go off that, I think it's not a movie, but I think she was good in The Assassination of Gianni Versace.
Oh, yeah.
She was great in that show. Fantastic. And she was yelling, but she was also very, like, it's a whole arc. But I thought she was great in that. That's not a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I'll just watch 9 and say that that's it. okay. So that is Up in the Air and our wedding preferences.
Rankings.
Oh, we got to rank shit. Okay. I would like to say that Crystal's wedding in Arkansas would be the cutest. but Anna's wedding with her different colored dress would be so pretty. Maybe Crystal's would win for most emotional, probably. Everybody would be bawling in that room.
Because we're like, oh my God, I didn't think it could happen. It's finally happening.
She did it.
You put us in that church, everybody's going to be sobbing.
True.
Anna's would be the most fun. I don't know. Wait. No. Maybe mine.
Yours would be the most fun.
Mine would be the most fun. Anna's would be,
The most sentimental. Like the most.
Yes. Most like romantic. Like
homey.
Yeah. Cozy, homey, sentimental, romantic. All the above. It's very Anna. And then we just got drunk in the club in mine. So. It's a requirement.
You're a dummy and I love you.
Thanks. I think so too. Okay, I have my rankings, so I'll go first, I guess. On the bottom, no surprise, The Blind Side. And then A Serious Man. And after that, we have After. And then I put Up in the Air, which, if I was going off of personal preference, it would be higher. But if I'm going off of film skill level and, like, execution, and Glorious Bastards is next, because that's obviously more execution there. Then we have Precious.
Literally.
Then we have An Education. Up is now at my number 2, and District 9 is back at my number 1.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm thinking I might change some of these before next week. But maybe not. All right, who's next?
I definitely changed mine. And okay. So at number 9 I have Avatar. No, I'm sorry. The Blind Side, excuse me. Then I have 8, A Serious Man. 7 is where I have Avatar. 6 is Precious. I moved those because I feel like Precious performances were better and that was more compelling to me. Above that, I have An Education. And then 4 is why I have Up in the Air. But I feel like those could be swapped because they were very similar in their simple storytelling, good performances. I was enthralled, but I think the whole like pedophile angle of the education grossed me out. So maybe that's why Up in the Air is higher. Three is Up, two is Inglourious Basterds, and one is District 9.
All right. Starting us with our baseline, what we all know and love is that at number 9, it's The Blind Side. Number 8, I have Avatar. 7, I have A Serious Man. 6 is Precious. 5 is Up in the Air. 4 is District 9. 3 is Up. 2 is An Education. And 1 is still Inglourious Basterds.
Wow. Who would have thought?
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Not me.
That is, dare I say, talent right there. I do have to admit, as fucking annoying as he is kind of talented. I will give him that.
I mean, look, from what I've seen, he made one good movie.
Exactly one.
I did really enjoy Django, but yeah. What was the other one that we saw of him recently?
Once Upon a Time.
Oh, that was shit. Yeah, no, that was shit. Okay, so he has two good movies so far in my book.
I think Django was more beautiful, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many beautiful shots in that film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Inglourious Basterds wasn't ugly, but I feel like, I don't know,
That wasn't the intention, I think, with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The writing was better in Inglourious Basterds than it was for Django. Sure.
Without
a doubt. And then again, because I'd seen this before, I was like, oh, look, it's copy paste Christoph Waltz again. Even though he wasn't playing the bad guy, he was playing a goodish guy this time. I was like, okay, it's the same thing. But whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. So yeah, now that's Up in the Air. And these are our rankings. And join us next time where we use this podcast as a way to hang out with each other. And not at all to talk about film.
No.
Which is fine. We do both. We do both. We can do both. Really, this is for us and for our two listeners.
The duality of women.
The duality of women. Come on. That is just like so fascinating to me. Just as like a philosophy.
It's like the rules of feminism or something, you know?
Basically. Basically. Plan each other's weddings and talk about movies.
We're going to be sending each other wedding dresses for the rest of the night.
Oh my God, yeah. I found some stuff on Google already, so.
But I'm surprised you didn't have it saved already, Joy, actually.
Huh?
I'm surprised you didn't have it saved already. Like, I so thought you had a Pinterest board of each of our names, and each board had, like, what you thought we would do.
I mean, I have a Pinterest board of weddings. I just didn't, you know, specify whether it's mine or somebody else's.
Okay. Speaking of, Joy, you never responded to the Pinterest board I sent you.
What, you sent me a Pinterest board?
About Crystal's surprise 40th. If she wants it to be a surprise. If you don't want it to be a surprise, it doesn't have to be.
Oh my God.
Well, how do I know what I want to be a surprise? You just told me.
I mean, you'll the forget. Theme, like, what we'll do.
Oh. I don't know.
I mean, you don't have to decide right now. I'm just letting you know.
I don't want to think about it.
And you don't have to decide because we're going to decide for you.
My God. I feel like the more we can talk about it, I feel like I'm turning into that, like, shriveled, like, I don't know, shriveled and old.
You are beautiful and glowing and thriving.
No. Yeah, bitch.
I see rays radiating all around you.
You're glowing, bitch.
Disconnected. It's done.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Shut up. Okay.
All right. Next week is our big finale. We love you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Woo.
Bye.
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 I wrote this song as sort of a statement about uncertainty and having a certain amount of anxiety about the future. so maybe you can use it in your movie.
I'm up in the air, choices drifting by me everywhere, and I can't find the one that would help me do the work I've left undone, 'cause I'm up in the air.